Last time we met on Wednesday, I preached a message, What Are the Saints Doing in Heaven? That's kind of our overall theme for these messages. And last time we took a look at when the saints go home. Tonight, what are the saints doing in heaven? Those that have gone on to be with the Lord, we know there is a heaven. It may be different than what we think about it or what songs that are put together sing about it. And Lord willing, in the course of all this, we're going to take a look at all those things. But tonight we want to take a look at what do they see in heaven? What do they see in heaven? Okay? And the Lord gives us some insight to that. Really, the only references as we look at tonight of what is going on in heaven is the throne room of God. Now, those are the references that we have. And we'll parse that out as we go forward. Understand, the streets of gold are not in heaven. They're in the new heaven and the new earth. They're on the new earth. They're in the new Jerusalem. That's going to come after the millennial reign. There's going to be a tabernacle that's going to be built that Brother Ezekiel tells us, the Lord tells us through him. And the division of the land when Israel truly occupies all the land that's given unto her. Well, that'll be during the millennial reign. And then there's the new Jerusalem after the millennial reign, there with the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, which is incredible in size. It is hard to even fathom how large the new Jerusalem will be. Well, that's not during the millennial reign. And so the Lord has given us these scriptures that we might understand where these things place. And it doesn't take away the streets of gold not being in heaven right now doesn't take anything away from heaven. Because as we're going to see tonight, the scripture makes it very clear. And as I think you and I know, heaven is great. The new heaven and the new earth is great and wonderful. The millennial reign and the Lord reigning out of Jerusalem that we know now, renovated, flattened out, a lot of things changed by what the building program and the renovation program of the Lord in those 1,000 years. And that's going to be great too. The reason they're all wonderful and great is because the Lord is there. That's what we need to hang on to and know is the case. Heaven is wonderful. And there's a song about heaven. And how glorious it is and how wonderful it is. The reason it is not because of the stuff, but because of the Lord Jesus. And so we want to take a look at this tonight. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, touch on this passage last time, and we'll use this as a springboard to go on. The Apostle Paul here, dealing with the church at Corinth in this second epistle, he writes about this. And dealing with them again about his apostleship and such, there's those that doubt such that he is able to deal with them, and we're looking at these epistles to the church at Corinth on Sunday afternoons. It says here in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 1, he says, "It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up into the third heaven." There is a heaven, and it's the third heaven, as we understand, and Brother Paul tells us, the Lord tells us here. The first heaven here is this atmosphere that you and I walk around in. The second heaven is space, as we refer to it. And where we have been and orbited and done things and sent satellites and projects, I want to say, devices to other planets and beyond and take pictures and make samples and all kinds of stuff. But then there's the third heaven, okay? And the Lord in his creation divided the atmosphere, as you and I call it, the first heaven, from the second heaven, space. And then there is this third heaven that Paul tells us about that is the dwelling place of the Lord. It's where he is. And people will say, well, I don't see heaven. I don't see where God is. Well, they're just looking at the second heaven. And the second heaven is either so vast, or out there so far, it's so reflective, which however the Lord has designed that, with our feeble means, there's no way we can see into the third heaven. It's a place that you and I just cannot access in these bodies. Now, we do see the third heaven by virtue of the Spirit of God, don't we? in the Spirit of God. We believe, but we believe and know. We have faith in the third heaven and our Lord being there because he tells us he is there. And so there is this third heaven. And I knew such a man, verse 3, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And we talked about John and some things that were mentioned to him that the Lord said, nope, don't write that. Don't write that down. Brother John the Apostle. And so the third heaven. Well, what do the saints see in heaven? Brother Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse number 55, we read that last time. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, speaking of Brother Stephen, a deacon there in the first church of Jerusalem, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And that's key. That's what's going on in heaven. In the third heaven is the glory of God is shining. I mean, it is shining brilliantly and brightly. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so this of heaven and the glory of God that is there. Some brethren that we know of through the scriptures and know and believe that they are there with our Lord and used by the Lord to be a witness unto his nation and a witness unto us, write about things that the Lord shows them in his place, in heaven, in the throne room of God. See, understand, those who are there, and I think we know that by the previous message and what we know from the scriptures, I trust that there's not a need for facility for those who are gone from this place and their spirits and their souls are with the Lord now. There's not a need for a place to live. There's not a need for a place to go, a chow hall, a mess hall, or a cafeteria. There's not a need for restrooms. Just being with the Lord is enough, and I tell you what, it is just greater than we can even imagine. The scripture, we've read that. The scripture has told us such. And so all that we have of what's going on now with where our Lord is what these brethren, what the Lord reveals to us through these brethren, and there's namely three that we have. And so we're going to take a look at one or two of them tonight. In Isaiah 6, verse number 1, Brother Isaiah, it tells in chapter 1 the kings of Judah that he serves during. It's right at the time of the end of Israel, okay? And we saw about that in our previous studies on Wednesday night. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And you see there, the Lord is capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Adonai is the Hebrew word that is used there. And we understand that this is talking about Jesus, okay? A distinction between Lord and Jehovah God. Adonai is a reference. It's akin to the wording that's used when Brother David says, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, said unto my Lord, capital L, lowercase, O-R-D, okay, speaking of Christ. They're not the same word, but they are akin to one another, if I understand that correctly. And so we see that he saw Jesus sitting on a throne, the Lord, the embodiment of God, is sitting there upon this throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, I was going to save this to say this to you, but I'm just going to go ahead and get it out right now. We're doing some remodeling over at the parsonage, and several years ago, there was some remodeling that was done at the parsonage. Several years ago, there was some remodeling done here at the church house. And then here recently, we've done a little bit of things, you know, under the subject of remodeling. Is there any remodeling in heaven? There's no need for any remodeling in heaven. If there's ever an idea or understanding of remodeling in heaven is when the Lord burns all this up, as Peter describes, and I believe that's the earth and everything. Some brethren say some things different, but I think the Lord's going to just scorch it all. Everywhere man has touched, everywhere Satan has dragged through, and then a new heaven and a new earth means new heaven and new earth. You and I, when we talk about new, we talk about brand new, don't we? That's what the word new means. That's what the Lord's going to do then. Every trace, every corrupted element is going to be destroyed, which there's no destruction of matter. We learned that in science, right? We can't create matter, nor can we destroy it. But God can, and has, and will. And then when it's new, it'll be new. And all that will remain, any remembrance of anything that is at hand of the former things will be unrepentant sinners, unbelieving sinners of the gospel of Jesus Christ, burning in the lake of fire forever. And again, that is not a cesspool of iniquity. That is the judgment place of God for the wicked and for unrepentant and unbelieving sinners. And all of that is righteous. I think I'm of the opinion in later years here, there's no railing against God and cursing God in hell in the lake of fire. It's done. I believe that God has all of that sequestered. And men may be rebelling in their hearts, but that's it. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what the Lord says that there is. We have no indication of any rebels in hell yelling and screaming at God about anything. But we have that of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so what is heaven like? There's no remodeling in heaven. And so what we're going to see in these accounts, we're going to see things that are very, very similar that took place one for another over the course of hundreds of years. These visions, okay? And so he says, he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His garment, his glory that goes after him. Remember when you think about the scriptures and when Moses wanted to see the Lord, and the Lord said, "You can't see me. You'll die if you do. I'll put you in the cliff of the rock. I'll put my hand over it. And when I go by you, then you can see my hinder parts." But that it was the Lord's train what followed after him. He said, "It fills up the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, two. With twain or two he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That's what he's declaring. Declaring over and over again. And it's appropriate time, whatever that is. And understand, it never becomes monotonous in heaven. It's the truth. It's the glorious truth. I mean, frankly, if we're honest, when we take a look in this flesh at the things of God about heaven, and about the new heaven and the new earth and the millennial reign, we can very easily say that's going to get old quick. But I tell you what, when we see it, and when we're there in the midst of it, and when we have those bodies like Christ, or we are there in spirit and soul with our Lord as these are today, and those that are going on and asleep in Christ, as the Scripture says, are with the Lord, I tell you what, it's going to be the place to be. We sing a song, "No Drooping or Pining." We see that in our children. We did it, done it ourselves. We might even do it now. But when we were young, we did it. Said, "Well, mom and dad say, blah, 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 we're going to do this, this, and this." Right? Well, you've seen that. We've done that, and we've seen that out of our children. Not there. Nothing like that there. Everybody's glad for everything going on, and everything is a thrill. And so we need to know that and glorify our Lord in it. Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you imagine if we came to meet the worship and the door frames rattled because of the presence and the glory of the Lord? We'd have a runaway. That's the way it would be. And this filling of the house. It tells us, and we saw last time in the revelation of John, that the temple will be opened in heaven. So there is indication that there is a temple in heaven. Hebrews talks about those things that they had on earth in Israel that are the figures of the true. So those things are evidently there. Okay? They're there. There's a temple. There's this throne of God. And a post of the door moved. The door of what? The door of that temple, it seemed. At the voice of him that cried in the house, the temple was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, and that's what mortals do. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. And the Lord has given Isaiah this vision. It's part of his equipping of Isaiah to go and do the very sober work and the very sober proclamation that he needs to make. Brother Isaiah needs to be bold before these kings that he'll go speak to. We see Brother Isaiah before the kings that he deals with, and really, I mean, we can see like Hezekiah, right? We can see, and brother Isaiah is never irreverent to the king, but there is a case in a sense that brother Isaiah kind of speaks to Hezekiah like he's immature, and I don't believe that he has a disdain for the Lord's king. He may be disappointed in the king's way. Lack of character, lack of godly character, lack of pursuit and virtue. He may have sorrow in that, but I don't think he despises the king. He no doubt he prays for the king, but this is what the Lord does, that the man of God might be equipped to do the work that he's given him to do. That could not be done any other way than by the power of the Lord. It's not Isaiah. But it's the Lord, and the Lord used this. He showed him some of his glory that Isaiah might be bold in him to know that all this is true and what God says is true and right. You know what? You and I, we need the same thing. We've got the Word here. We don't need a vision. We don't need something more. We just need to get a hold of this. May God help us. Woe is me, he says. We're filthy mouth. I'm filthy mouth. And my people are filthy mouth. And I've seen the Lord, and everything else is just melted down. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Remember that, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The inability and unfitfulness of Isaiah even to stand before the Lord has to be dealt with. It tells us that even in this vision, the man is weak in this carnal flesh standing before the Lord. We could not live there this way. That's the reason the Lord changes us. And we leave these old bodies behind in death. Or in the transfiguration or the rapture, as we saw last time. And so, verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And this is particular to Isaiah and the mission, what the Lord is looking to accomplish. And who will go for us? The Lord says, then said I, here am I, send me. Willingness we see. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, and perceive, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and so on. The Lord goes ahead and gives Brother Isaiah the mission and the message for him to preach unto his nation. Then, in the book of Ezekiel, we see Brother Ezekiel, and we studied about him some time ago, and it's really amazing the things that we found there. So much in the book of Ezekiel, such an awesome work that the Lord called Brother Ezekiel to pursue, and he equipped him the same way. One thing that we see, I'll mention this, in the book of Ezekiel, we see a reference here that we only see one or two other times in the scriptures, and none of them aimed at as a man. But we see this brother, a brother Ezekiel, in the Babylonian captivity. So he's been taken out of Judah and taken over to Babylonia, captive, in that 70-year captivity. And He's called of the Lord to be a prophet unto the people in captivity, which is interesting. It's different. These are people that are, they're rubbed raw by this captivity. There are many that will not submit to the judgment of the Lord and the working of the Lord in this captivity, in their hearts. And they're still rebellious. They still think that they've been done dirty and done wrong and all that. And so the Lord prepares Brother Ezekiel for really, really something. Brother Isaiah and Brother Ezekiel really stand out in the things that the Lord called them into to do, things that we really find strange and odd, things that so humiliating. But that's how bad the sin of the Lord's nation was and is, and what the Lord used to testify to them of how great their folly was in pursuing other gods and leaving their God to their back. And so Brother Ezekiel is referred to here by the Lord as Son of Man. We see no other than the Lord Jesus Christ referred to in this way. And Brother Ezekiel seems to be a man in the prime of his life, right around 30 years old, if we understand that correctly. Same age as our Lord Jesus when he started his ministry. Now, Brother Ezekiel is not the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's similarities that are there. The Lord Jesus, the Creator, the King, the Son of God, God come down in the flesh. Remember what John writes? He came into his own and his own received him not. If there was ever anyone ever to receive, it would be our Creator and Lord and King. He came meek and lowly. He came very humbly, and he came as Savior. He came as Savior for sinners that hated him. And Brother Ezekiel was sent to a people that, in time, they learned to hate him too. I think they reverence him and they respect him, but they don't like his message. Many do not like his message, and so we see here Brother Ezekiel being prepared in this first chapter. There's four visions that Brother Ezekiel has, and we're going to see things similar that are reiterated in those, and then things that are different and mentioned otherwise in these. We'll take a look at the first here in chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1, "Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, that I was among the captives by the river Chebar," that is a river there in Babylonia, "and the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." The heavens opened. The heavens opened. That means the second heaven, the first heaven and the second heaven, were parted away to where our brother could see into that which is the third. "In the 5th day of the month," which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, "the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself." You can imagine kind of like a tornado being filled with fire and just wrapping and wrapping and going in and out and in and out, and a brightness was about it. "And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, yellowish, and that palette of the, that part of the color palette, out of the midst of the fire," and so this burning of fire, no doubt orange and black and maybe even brighter and white and blue, "and out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot." And so these that Isaiah saw are beginning to be described even more. Creatures created by God to be there, I believe, in his throne room. That's what heaven is the throne room of God. And creatures that are not updated, because there is no updating in heaven. There is that which God does, and that's it. You and I, we're so used to remodel, we think in those terms. But not in heaven, not in glory. When the Lord made his throne room, he made it the way he wanted it. And here these creatures are. And they have different parts and elements of different creatures upon the earth that you and I would just not expect to be put together. But there they are. And there's nothing wrong with these. There's nothing corrupt at all about this. you and I, we need to live in the world that the Lord has made for us and never look to pursue anything to have or to make an image or a likeness of anything like this. But the Lord tells us the way things, some things are there. And so these four living creatures, they had the likeness of a man, but they had four faces and everyone had four wings. Their feet, verse 7, were straight feet, and the sole of their feet like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And so brass all polished up and that, or maybe kind of a little bit dull from its shiniest color. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they had, and they four had their faces and their wings. So they've got the faces, hands, and such. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. So they have these four faces, and they go the direction, they don't ever turn. You and I, when we want to go some different direction, we turn our face to that direction typically, not these. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and of a lion and on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. And so, hard for us to understand that, but they're there. And there's four of them that way. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined to one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, or the direction of whatever all this is, when it would look to move, that's what they did. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. And, you know, that can be orange and red, and, you know, even a fire, when a fire, coals of a fire are even black, they can still be very, very hot. That was their appearance. Like the appearance of lamps. And so that's another thing that, like, you know, when the fire is burning in a lamp, burning up the oil. It went up and down among the living creatures, and so this is all moving. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. So now lightning proceeds out of them. And we know how lightning looks. Lightning's no different in our day than it was in Ezekiel's day. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. They move that fast. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth was by the living creatures with his four faces. There's a wheel relative seemingly to each one. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so there's some concentric wheels there, an outer one, inner ones, and such. When they went, the wind upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. So this structure, this being of these four beings, it doesn't ever turn. It just moves the way that it moves, whatever the will is of the one that directs it. As for their rings, verse 18, they were so high that they were dreadful. So they're huge. They're very tall, it seems, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Animals and people have eyes, and bugs and snakes and critters. We don't think about something. We don't think about something inanimate as being having features of that which is full of life. The thing is, the Lord does what He wants to where He wants to. And so what our brother has described is what he saw in the way that it is. They're full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures, verse 19, went, the wheels went by them, so they traveled along with them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. And for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. They're connected somehow. It's not like there's a lack of response. They just go together. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of the terrible crystal. Now, one of our brethren that teaches Sunday school, they can, in their studies, can find out what that is and let us know about the terrible crystal here in time to come. Stretched forth over their heads above. So there's something that looks like a crystal, the terrible crystal, and its glory and its fearfulness, whatever it is, it's over top of them. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. That they, when they move and fly, they sound like God speaking. It's not God speaking, but that's how terrible it is, how awesome that it is when they move about. The voice of speech, as the noise of a host, that means an army on the move. And when they stood, they let down their wings. So the wings would come up, but the two that were given to flying, we saw what Isaiah saw about how they covered parts of their bodies, and two with two they flew. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. So there's a voice that comes when they stood and then let down their wings. And so there's a voice from above. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. So these four creatures have these wheels associated with them. They have this firmament over top of them. And on top of that, our brother declares unto us that there was a likeness. He says, it looks like a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, right? A sapphire is typically blue, right? And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So there's a likeness of a man up there on that throne above these four creatures, this firmament above them. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward. This is describing the one that looks like a man on it. And so he sees amber as the appearance of fire round about within it. And from the appearance of his loins, even upward, so from the mid part of his body upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. That's the holiness of the Lord shining forth. In the new heaven and the new earth, as we'll see in time, there's no need for the sun, because the Lord's the light of it. And this is the reason why. And it had brightness round about. It's his glory that shines. His glory is so vast and so great that it shines. It just, remember how it was with the woman that had the issue of blood and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And the Lord perceived that virtue had gone from him. What that word virtue talks about. This is the glory of the Lord, not held back. As the appearance of the bow, verse number 28, that is in the cloud in the day of rain. And so now there's that of the rainbow that's at hand too. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. And so as his glory shone, it shone in a rainbow round about, or near to him, or farther away from him. There in the latter part of verse 27, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. What are they seeing in heaven? They're seeing this. This is our Lord. And he gave our brother and us a glimpse of it. And when I saw it, just like Brother Isaiah, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon my feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and I set me on my feet, and that I heard him that spake unto me. What are the saints doing in heaven?
I tell you what, they're basking in the glory of the Lord. And you know what? They're made. Being devoid as Brother Ezekiel was not, as Brother Isaiah was not, as you and I are not. We're not devoid of this old flesh that drags us down. But they are there in spirit and soul with the Lord. And I'm of opinion there's been no remodel, no change in glory. But this is the picture that we have. This is what they behold always. We don't have time tonight for these other visions, but we'll look, Lord willing, to get to them here in the future. As we concluded the message last week, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 18, they're speaking about the rapture and the resurrection, and that what's mentioned there in that last verse of that chapter, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, I think we can be comforted by these things too, that our Lord is true and real and there in His majesty and His greatness. I want you to take a look at Isaiah chapter 57, though, before we close out tonight. And I want us to see this. I want us to see this and how it is for those that are in glory, and how the promise that we have if we go by death and to be with our Savior, what our Lord declares through our brother Isaiah in Isaiah 57, verse number 15. Scripture says here, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." He inhabits eternity. Brothers and sisters, there in heaven is eternity. And when we leave out of this life and we shed and shuck this old body by death or by being translated at the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the beginning of eternity for us. There will be time that will yet be counted, even after the rapture, even after our deaths, the deaths of the saints. Time has been ticking off on this earth. But you know what? Everybody that's on the other side, they're in eternity with the Lord. And listen to what the Lord says His work is. "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, heaven, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, the redeemed, the saved, the saints." Everybody there is glad to be there and is thankful to be there and glorifies the Lord in being there. And with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, he said, this is what I do. I revive them and revive the heart of the contrite ones. I dwell with them and I revive them. He gives them life. He gives us, promised us life eternal indeed. Won't it be wonderful there, the song says. Indeed it will be. It is wonderful there now. And then, as I mentioned here in recent times in 2 Peter 3, Brother Peter talking about the destruction of the world, but I don't think we do any disservice to the Scriptures in saying, and if it's so about the destruction of the world, but it says there in 2 Peter 3, verse 11, "Seeing that these things, if you will, are so, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation with God?" Knowing that this is so, where our Lord lives and that heaven is real and that we're heading there by our Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to change our lives. And may God help us that it would. If you're here and you're not saved, I tell you, come go to glory with us. Why would you want anything else? Come go to glory with us. To be with our Creator, Lord and Savior. Come go with us. By Jesus Christ, our living way. Repent and believe the gospel.